the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Talk on this Friday afternoon. I'm John Wilkerson here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. It is the next to the last day in October. It is still a football Friday, although Tennessee is not one of the teams playing football this weekend. We are to the final week of the regular season for just about everybody in the state of Tennessee. There will be an outlier or two in terms of games made up next week or bonus games being added to schedules, but for the most part, week 11, the finish to high school football in the regular season, and the table setting is underway when it comes to who's going to represent what region as what seed and where. So much fun. But we'll have Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps joining us later this hour to talk about the biggest games on the schedule tonight. Hour number two, it's the pick segment. And it's always so much fun when Vol for Life Bobby Scott joins us, as he does today. Hour number three, it's the Pigskin Panel. Vol for Life Will Overstreet, TV's John Pennington will be on board with us to talk all things in regards to Tennessee football, as well as a look at the midway point in the Southeastern Conference season. Before the show ends, we'll have your chance to win with a sports fix at 6. We'll have a practice report with Eric Kane, and we'll have comments from Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, and so much more. And it's all coming your way today on Sports Talk. Jimmy Himes, how are you?
John, I'm doing great. The sun has just poked out. Looks like we've got another beautiful day, a little bit on the chilly side, but that's okay. Looks like a great day in Knoxville.
Very much so. And Jimmy, we both cast our ballot early, and courtesy of the Tennessee Secretary of State office, more by the time early voting ended yesterday, more than 51% of all registered voters in the state of Tennessee have already voted in next Tuesday's election. And wow, there are six counties, including Loudoun is one of them, that the absentee and early voters outnumber the total voters that cast their votes in the 2016 election.
I'm glad to see people are getting out and voting.
Yes.
I guess it's so, taken a lot of things to occur for people to get out and cast their vote, but I'm glad to see it.
Glad to see it, and appreciate all the volunteers that that spent so much time helping everybody get out to vote. And, of course, you still have Election Day on Tuesday, so if you didn't get into an early vote, then, hey, it's right there. It'll be here before you know it. But congratulations, and thank you to everyone who had a hand in the early voting in Knox County, East Tennessee, and across the state. But we've got so much going on. Jimmy, have you mapped out what you'll be watching this weekend since you don't have to cover a Tennessee football game?
Football, and more football.
What's going to be at the top of your list?
Well, there are a lot of games to watch, but certainly I'll watch the Arkansas game with interest because that's Tennessee's next opponent. I always try to clue in on who they're playing next and watch that one a little bit more intently. Curious to see about Ohio State. Ohio State's going for a record 10th consecutive road win against a ranked opponent.
Wow.
That's pretty strong. They go to Penn State, and they're certainly favored to do that. But I'll check that out. I do want to watch a few more SEC games. I want to see what LSU looks like with a backup quarterback going to Auburn. So that's pretty high on the list. But it's a lot of that. And then the NFL game that intrigues me as much as any would be, well, there are a couple of them, but the one that really intrigues me is Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think two of the best teams in the NFL, not just the AFC.
Yes, that's right there at the top of my list as well. And it's going to be something, as Steve Hamer was giving us his preview, 25th meeting between Harbaugh and Tomlin. How about that?
It's a record, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not have thought that. If you'd asked that question, that would have taken me a little while to try to figure that out. But, yeah, they, of course, being in the same division, they play each other twice a year. And you got Lamar Jackson versus Ben Roethlisberger. Jackson's not having the year he had a year ago. Roethlisberger missed almost all of last season. I can't remember when he got hurt. Was it, I guess, early in the
season?
Very
early, yes.
Yeah, so you got that going on. Then you got the intrigue to me is that Pittsburgh defense against Lamar Jackson, they do a nice job of containing his run game, which means he's going to have to throw the ball better. and be more efficient in the passing game, which he has not been to this point in some games. So I think there's a lot of intrigue there. And then whether or not Ben Roethlisberger, this will be a little bit better litmus test about where he is. He had some pretty good moments against the Titans, and now we'll see what he can do against the Ravens. He needs to be a little bit more consistent at a high level for Pittsburgh if they want to make it to a Super Bowl. But I think there's, to me, there's intrigue to see how he's going to perform.
It will be. It definitely will be. And there are also some other compelling games. Tua makes his first start for the Dolphins. That'll be against the Rams. We'll see what happens between the Cowboys and the Eagles if Dallas can show any signs of life. I mean, this is for first place in the NFC East. There's no bones about that.
Well, and I don't expect the Cowboys to win. In fact, I don't know how competitive they're going to be. First off, their defense is among the worst in the NFL. Probably the worst defense Dallas has ever had since I've been following them since 1964. And then you're starting a quarterback that you took in the seventh round, DiNucci. He's from James Madison. I don't expect him to do much. So I actually think Philadelphia is going to have a relatively easy time of it against Dallas.
Well, I can't say I don't wish ill will on the Cowboys. I've never pulled for them, never been a fan, but I'll just say I hope good things happen for Philadelphia because I invested big in the Eagles when it comes to what is a very impactful open date for so many of my fantasy football players. I've got Wentz going. I've got the replacement tied in for Ertz. You name it. I have loaded up on Eagles with the hopes that the Cowboys' unfortunate turn will continue.
I think you're going to be happy Sunday night.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Some interesting things going down for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people that you can trust. The big news, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson quarterback, testing positive. He's in isolation. He must be in there for 10 days. Depending on when they initially tested him, the 10 days could be the day of the Notre Dame game on November the 7th. Now, he's missing the Boston College game for sure. And there's some talk about whether he can get back for the Notre Dame game November 7th. DJ Uiagalelei, and I've seen his name pronounced many ways, the 6'4", 250-pound freshman quarterback from California, gets the start. He's a five-star. He's highly rated. We'll see how he performs. He should do okay against Boston College, although the line dipped from 31.5 points to 24. That's a pretty significant line for a quarterback. Lawrence, 31-1 as a starter. His only loss was to LSU. No contact tracing with other players. He lives alone, so no other Clemson players have had to miss practice. Now, I was listening to Stephen A. Smith, who said, well, what does that say about Notre Dame if the backup quarterback at Clemson might be able to beat him? Well, now, hold on now. Who's your backup? You know, there was a backup for Jalen Hurts named Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
There was a backup for Tua named Mac Jones. There was a backup for Kelly Bryant named Trevor Lawrence. It depends on who the backup is.
Correct.
You just make a statement that, oh, your backup quarterback's going to win it. Heck, Jake Fromm was a backup to Jacob Eason. So there are plenty of – Peyton Manning was a backup to Jerry Colquitt and Todd Helton. There are plenty of examples of a guy that was a backup quarterback that was darn good, maybe as good as the starter, and in some cases better. So I don't put a lot of stock in that. I do want to see what Uiagalelei does against BC, which might give us a little bit better barometer going forward. Okay, Wisconsin, three new positive tests. They've got 16 that are active. Very tough situation there. Also, with some other notes, Desmond Howard with ESPN has tested positive. Ed Orgeron and Will Wade, football, basketball coaches at LSU, talking about taking a pay cut, along with others in the athletic department. This is stunning. The LSU athletic department said it expects to lose $80 million. Now, when we visited, and not just with us, but with Philip Fulmer, he's indicated for Tennessee it's $40 to $50 million. So I don't know if that's a number that Tennessee might revise. Not sure about that, but I thought that was interesting that LSU is expecting to lose $80 million. All right, a few other notes out there as far as the bowl dates have been announced, and I don't understand what was the big deal on this because the semifinals were already scheduled for January the 1st, and the national championship game already scheduled for January 11th. They did come out and announce all of the bowl dates and all of the tie-ins with the conferences. Seven bowls have opted out: the Bahamas, the Fenway, the Celebration Bowl, the Holiday Bowl, the Red Box, the Quick Lane are all out. The Montgomery Bowl for this year is going to replace the Fenway Bowl only this year, and they're not sure if the Las Vegas Bowl is going to be held. ESPN's televising 35 of the 37 bowl games. CBS has the other two. And last night it was Alcoa 20-7 over Kingsport Dobbins Bennett. Alcoa running its record to 9-1 as Cam Burton had two touchdown passes. Brayton Anderson, two touchdowns. What's interesting is that a year ago, Alcoa won this game 21-6. This year, 20-7. Very similar outcomes.
Absolutely, and they got it done. Let's see, it was tied at 7, and then Alcoa was able to separate with a couple of second quarter touchdowns. And as you talked about, as we talked about with Coach Rankin yesterday, that Tornadoes defense is just unyielding. In fact, they didn't allow, I believe, a touchdown to Dobbins Bennett. It was the defense that scored for Kingsport, right?
I didn't realize that. Yeah,
I believe it was. I thought they stripped. I thought they stripped the ball away from Alcoa and ran it in. I might be wrong on that. It either was the touchdown or it set up the touchdown. But Alcoa's defense has been otherworldly.
Yeah. All right. The ACC Big Ten Men's Basketball Challenge has been set for December 8th through the 9th. A couple of the headliners: Duke against Illinois, North Carolina against Iowa. Texas Tech guard Mac McClung has gotten a waiver to play immediately. He's a transfer from Georgetown. He'll be playing for the Red Raiders. He left Georgetown in May. The Atlanta Falcons hold on. They get an interception late, and Todd Gurley scored a touchdown when he really meant to. 25-17, Atlanta gets the win, and they won it in spite of a fourth quarter missed PAT. You're sitting there thinking after they miss the extra point and they got an 8-point lead instead of 9, uh-oh, you could just smell overtime coming. But Atlanta made an interception with slightly less than a minute left. They get the win. They've won two of their last three. As Matt Ryan, 281 passing yards. This is an interesting note. Julio Jones, 7 catches, 137 yards. He's got 12,708 receiving yards in 10 years. That is the second most of any receiver ever. He's also had 29 games with 100 yards receiving, at least, and no touchdowns. That's a record. No receivers ever had that many 100-yard receiving games without a touchdown. But he is a great receiver. It's just that he doesn't find the end zone as much as you might think that he would. All right, I thought this was a very interesting note as I was watching ESPN earlier. They were talking about New England in the draft. New England has had 0 Pro Bowlers drafted since 2013. That just doesn't seem possible. And the last draft pick they had that made the Pro Bowl was Jamie Collins, a linebacker. That surprised me greatly to see that. All right, Rob Ninkovich, who's with ESPN, they had a Halloween theme type thing, and I thought this was interesting. The player that gives you nightmares, who did he pick? Alvin Kamara, the guy that is hard to defend against the run. He's hard to defend against the pass. That was the one that he picked. I thought that was a great compliment to Alvin Kamara. All right, a few other notes, a sad note here. Hall of Fame defensive back Herb Adderley passed away at 81 years old. He played in 4 of the first 6 Super Bowls with Green Bay and with Dallas. And, John, this is another sad note, and I know you know this name. Travis Roy, hockey player. He passed away at age 45. He aspired to be a college hockey player. He played 11 seconds and suffered an injury that rendered him paralyzed. And he played for Boston U. He did so much work after that. He tried to help. He spent the rest of his life trying to help spinal cord injury survivors.
Yeah, just an amazing existence and path that he found himself on, just to lend a helping hand, to offer support and encouragement after what would have been just such a disaster for so many others. I mean, how he picked himself up to be the positive influence that he was beyond remarkable, and just so sad to hear of his passing.
Yeah. So we talked yesterday about Tony La Russa being hired as the manager for the White Sox. So a couple of things about that. He's one of the two oldest to ever manage. He's age 76. Jerry Reinsdorf said the biggest mistake he made as the owner of the White Sox was firing La Russa back in the 1980s. And some people think this is kind of an olive branch toward La Russa. So when they announced La Russa, they had his picture up there. And then underneath it, they had the signature of A.J. Hinch. Don't know if you saw that, but I thought, oops. So somebody caught that mistake. So then today Detroit has hired A.J. Hinch as their manager. Wouldn't it be funny if they just put a signature of La Russa underage 8 inch. I just said, oh, excuse us.
Yes.
They could be trolling the White Sox. But so La Russa, by the way, he'll be only the second to manage in 6 decades, Connie Mack being the other one. He's also one of only 4 managers to win a World Series with 2 different teams. That's an unusual distinction. And for 2 of them, you got to go back to like the 30s and 40s. Bucky Harris and Bill McKechnie were 2 of the others that did that. All right, a couple of other notes regarding the NFL. The Saints wide receiver Mike Thomas returned to practice, still unsure if he'll play. New York Giants offensive lineman Will Hernandez has COVID. He was out of practice. 5 offensive linemen also were not at practice, but the Giants had 0 positives today. They host Tampa Bay on Monday. That looks like that game's still going to go. Cam Newton said that one thing he's learned is that losing isn't accepted in New England. He probably should have known that. But he said, it's not accepted in New England, not in this town, not in this county, not in this state, not in this region. And he went on and on about that. New England looks like they're going to be without wide receiver Julian Edelman. He is going to be out for, it looks like, several weeks. He had a knee procedure. That's all they need is another injury there. And in Tampa Bay, the Devil Rays have declined the option on pitcher Charlie Morton. Astros, go get him. Dadgummit. Like him a lot. I hope they'll go back and sign him. I thought they screwed up when they let him go after they won the World Series a couple of years ago. And then one of the top-rated tennis players in the world, Alexander Zverev, has been accused of domestic abuse. He was a U.S. Open finalist. He said it's simply not true. He was accused by an ex-girlfriend in 2019. And so those are news and notes brought to you by Image Matters.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We're here today at Oak Ridge Nissan, where it is the final days of their Rocktoberfest of savings. They have stiff-armed the competition to be the number one volume dealer in Tennessee. Incredible pricing when it comes to new Versas, new Nissan Kicks starting at $14,888 or $189 a month. You can also get great savings on the new Altima. You can get up to $7,000 over Kelley Blue Book on your trade-in, whether it drives or not. If you want to score big, come on down Oak Ridge Nissan, and you can just take advantage of the savings and selection all over the place. Bottom line, get more for yours, pay less for what they have here, where Illinois Avenue meets the Turnpike in Oak Ridge. Make the short 10-minute drive from anywhere and save thousands here at Oak Ridge Nissan. Today it's Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Here at The Sports Animal, we never really grew up. We just learn how to act in public, most of the time.
Sports Talk continues here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. And again, we'll remind you that you can lend a helping hand to so many for just $7. You can get this year's Legends Towel from Second Harvest Food Bank of East Tennessee. It's just it's so easy to get, Jimmy. You go to secondharvestetn.org/legends and $7. It celebrates the long-lasting impact of one Tim Caron, as well as celebrates the life of Johnny Majors. And so they're together on the same towel, the Second Harvest Tennessee, East Tennessee Legends towel. And and every towel sold will mean that 21 meals will be on their way to folks that really need the help.
Well, I think it's fantastic that they're doing that. I think it's great that they're honoring John Majors this way. Everybody knows the story of Coach Majors. And then with Tim Caron, he not only was a great trainer, but he was somebody that got really close to the players. And he was like a father figure to many of them. He did a tremendous job for Tennessee for many, many years. And I just had the utmost respect for him, got to know him really well. And so I think it's neat that they're doing that for Tim Caron, for John Majors, and also to think about the great cause that has helped to feed folks in the East Tennessee area.
So if you want to, buy a bunch of towels, hand them out, and act like a big shot, and know that you're helping provide 21 meals with each towel purchased. SecondHarvestETN.org/legends.
And John, I checked on the basketball schedules for the Vols and Lady Vols, and there's still nothing has been released. I know there's a lot of rumbling, a lot of talk about what they're going to try to do. There's been speculation about a variety of things, but all we really know for sure is that Tennessee, on the men's side, they're going to start their conference schedule late December, And we heard Rick Barnes say that Tennessee's going to play Gonzaga somehow, some way, somewhere. Also with the Lady Vols, they're going to start December the 31st. They do not have a schedule that's out yet. Their tournament that was scheduled for Melbourne, Florida, has been canceled. We heard Kelly Harper mention that recently. So still waiting on those schedules. We'll see when they get released. You keep hearing soon, but I know folks would like to get that thing done. And then one other quick note on the NBA, a number of players do not want to start the season December the 22nd before Christmas. We heard Steve Hamer talk about how much he enjoys watching the NBA on Christmas Day. Many of the players want to wait until MLK Day in January, which is usually mid-January. So I don't know when they're going to start, but I did read where if they don't start it before Christmas, that could mean $800 million in revenue lost. So we'll see where that one goes.
Boy. But they also did, and I don't know if you saw this number, Jimmy, that they were able to essentially get $1.5 billion in revenue that they would have lost if they had not done the bubble.
No, I did not see that number.
Yeah, so they were indeed down in revenue, but they also managed to, because they did do the bubble, they made, $1.5 billion in revenue for the effort. But it is going to be interesting to see exactly when that schedule gets set, as well as you were talking about Vols, Lady Vols, and SEC, NCAA, because you've got so many programs that are right now in a holding pattern. But we'll get a break. When we return, Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. Today, I am here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Jimmy Hyams broadcast from a super secret location as we go to the Stanley Fencing Gates hotline to welcome Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps as we have made it to week 11, the final week of the regular season for just about everybody in the state of Tennessee. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, John. How about you?
Can't complain. Big thumbs up on this end. And so here we are. How much jockeying for position is going on with the games that take place tonight?
There's a lot, and there's a lot of teams vying for region championships and that one seed and that all-important home field advantage. There are teams trying to fight their way into the playoffs. A team like Pigeon Forge, who's played so well all year long, is in a spot tonight where it has to beat Scott County to get into the postseason. You got games like Gatlinburg, Pittman, and Kingston. Both of those teams are fighting for a two seed, which would allow for them to host a playoff game. And we talked with Brian Pankey, the head football coach at Kingston, and he talked about what it's like for his program to even be in this position. It's been such a long time since they've gotten to host a first-round playoff game and how much that would mean to his community on a year like this. And so it's a big, big week of drama, and it's something that we're going to be following all night long. We're going to be doing our playoff war room show again on Five Star Live. So we're going to have a 6 p.m. kind of scene setter show on social media. We'll be talking with Joe Gattis and talking with Gary Rankin about the postseason. We're going to have halftime reports, kind of updating the brackets. And then after the game tonight, we'll have all the playoff pairings hopefully set and analyzing those. And so it's a big, big night for high school football in East Tennessee, and I'm glad we're getting to have it.
Yes. Jesse, how about that South Door game at Powell? Both teams 7-2. Clark Duncan, who used to be the coach at Powell, he's 0-5 against Matt Lowe.
Yeah, and he's going to see a highly motivated Powell team. Powell does not want to enter the 5A playoffs on a three-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. And right now they're kind of stumbling a bit down the stretch. And while they put up some points and put up some yardage, they've had mistakes go against them. They've had calls go against them. And so they're trying to find some semblance of positive energy or momentum to take into the playoffs. They're already the three seed coming out of their region, and nobody thought that would be the case, say, 3 weeks ago. But here Powell is as the three seed after that loss to Oak Ridge a week ago. So they're going to have to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs to play either Walker Valley or Soddy Daisy. And so anytime you go on the road, you want to have those positive vibes, that confidence going, and they need this win tonight over South Doyle.
And you got Gibbs at Central. Gibbs needs a little bit of help to get in the playoffs, but their offense sure is purring pretty good. They've scored at least 49 points in two games in a row.
Yeah, and I think they probably had one of the bigger shocks of Week 10 with that 55-16 win against Carter. And we've kind of chronicled Gibbs's evolution as an offense all season long on our website and about Brad Turner and his offensive staff incorporating the pass game more and more. And there's been a few times this year where you've seen Gibbs quarterbacks throw for over 300 yards, and that's an abnormality given the way that they've run the triple option in the last 10 to 15 years. And so at times it can really pop, and you have those big offensive explosions like they did a week ago, and then there's other times where it's kind of idled a little bit. So they're going to have to really be on point tonight. Everybody knows Central prides itself on defense with Caleb Fortner and Mark Adams Jr. and Liam Fortner and Jaden Horton. And so it's a tall task for them to try to put up 49 points or more tonight.
Jesse, where will you be headquartered, and where can we look forward to Five Star Preps Live?
Well, we'll have coverage from Webb and CAK. That's a big-time region championship game, and CAK 9-0 on the year. Here comes Webb in the 11th hour of the regular season on a really nice run and trying to sneak into the one seed position. So we'll be covering that game. We'll be covering the Gibbs and Central game that we just talked about. We'll have our five-star live show actually up at Gold Star Nutrition up in North Knoxville, and they're a proud supporter of high school athletics. And so we're going to do our playoff war room show pregame, halftime, postgame from the friendly confines of Gold Star Nutrition and just have some fun up there tonight.
Tell me, what were your takeaways? Obviously, it was not both teams at full strength, but what did you think of Catholic at West last week?
Well, yeah, it was unfortunate because last week we got such an emotional high when that game was announced that Catholic and West were going to play, and it would be the first time in 2 years that a Knoxville or Knox County team was going to be playing Catholic. And you think about all the talent on both sides of the football, but then word comes out that West starting quarterback Baker Dance is not playing. A huge chunk of the starting offensive line is not playing, and you saw West's offense struggle naturally. And as much as they tried to do what they could with the players they had, and they still had a good amount of players, Catholic was just too much for them this past Friday night. So for Catholic, it was just kind of a feel-good game, trying to get some games in that schedule when teams have been canceling because of COVID reasons or what have you. And the fact that their players just even get to get out there and play and make plays makes them feel like, hey, at least we've had some type of season. But for West, they lose their undefeated regular season. They never had one, but this team's still focused on a 5A state championship, and they'll be on the field tonight against Campbell County, I believe, on the road, and we'll see them host first-round playoff games in the next few weeks.
Hey, Jesse, CAK is trying to go undefeated in the regular season for the first time in 4 years under Travis Mazingo, and I wonder, how good is CAK, and how good is J.D. Dunn?
To answer both questions succinctly, really good. We watched them last week against Grace Christian, and I get CAK stats sent to me every week, and I type those up for our stat reports. And when you look at their defensive stat report, it is incredible, the amount of tackles for loss and sacks and the amount of tackles they have. And they have a young man named Kai McNeil Harrison. He's probably 6'3", 6'4", plays this outside linebacker position, and he's got like 5 interceptions on the year just because of his frame and being disruptive in the pass game for so many opponents. And then when you talk about J.D. Dunn, he's a young man who plays with a chip on his shoulder. And he and I talked about that on Five Star Live late last Friday night about how nobody really talked about him, including us, going into the 2020 season. And here he is with well over 1,000 yards and maybe going to be in the conversation for Mr. Football.
Speaking of defense, Alcoa does it again last night as they beat Kingsport Dobbins Bennett. What is the – it's every year they're so good. Is it the defensive coordinator, the talent, their scheme, or maybe all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. that D, when you take those high school multiple choice questions, that's D, all of the above. And so for Brian Nix to have been out there for 15, 16 years now and growing and learning and being able to not only put his fingerprints on the defense at a high school level, but I'm sure communicating with the feeder systems that come up through Alcoa and setting that standard and expectations of excellence for play on the defensive side of the football. I heard your guys' interview with Gary Rankin yesterday, before they played Dobbins Bennett, and it really made me think about those years at Tennessee where Tennessee would recruit some really good really good running backs, and you'd see two or three of them move over to linebacker or get transitioned to safety somehow as a wide receiver, and taking those really good offensive talents and making sure that they can contribute on the defensive side of the football and have that speed and agility to chase down on the edges and get to the sidelines and keep contained on defense. So much goes into what they do at Alcoa. And unfortunately, we had to post a story on the site today about Isaiah Cox, their defensive back wide receiver who got injured in the first series, or really on the kickoff before he threw that 51-yard fake play touchdown. We have an update on his status. It looks like he's going to miss the postseason this fall, and it's unfortunate because he is a senior, but Gary Rankin did confirm that with us this afternoon, and so our hearts goes out to Isaiah Cox. You never want to see a senior miss out on his opportunity to play in the postseason, whether it's injury, whether it's COVID-related or what have you. So definitely a tough blow for Alcoa to withstand today.
Boy, tough news. So sorry to hear that. Jesse, absolutely. What's it been like to see the resurgence in the second half of the season for teams like Oak Ridge and Greenville?
Well, for Greenville, it was just a matter of getting guys healthy, getting guys snaps, because they were so young on defense, and they lost such a huge chunk of just production off of their team last year. And while it wasn't a state championship team last year, it was still one that made a deep run into the playoffs and had a lot of senior leadership. And so this year they had to get people healthy, and then they lost their starting quarterback. And it was just this perfect storm for Eddie Spradlin, the new head football coach at Greenville, to have to weather and find a way to move pieces around and get guys up to speed really fast. And having not had your spring practice and really the early season preparations, it just took some time. And it's a really good football community and staff up there, so you knew they were going to get fixed, and they did. And for Oak Ridge, just wow. I mean, to finish off the year the way they did, with four or five straight wins and get a number two seed out of that region, nobody would have expected that a handful of weeks ago, not the way that they were playing. But Kendall Jackson got healthy. Some other young players that were in their lineups have really matured quickly during the latter half of the season, and they're rolling right now.
If you would, just give us the thumbnail sketch on what's going on in other sports. You, of course, got everybody ready for what's upcoming with the soccer tournament, and there was even news as we saw what the future holds for a football wrestling standout from CAK.
Yeah, first off, with the state soccer tournament going on right now, I believe that Alcoa is playing in Murfreesboro. They're winning right now 2-1 over Valor College Prep. Later on tonight, we'll see Maryville, and we'll see Bearden and McMinn County and Greenville and Seymour hit the pitch and try to get to the state semifinals. All these games were delayed. They were supposed to have taken place earlier in the week, but all the rains that hit the state of Tennessee that pushed these games back. And so, unfortunately, they're going to have to go up against football tonight for the attention that, you know, they really deserve for even making it to the state tournament. And so state semifinals will be tomorrow, and then state championships for soccer will be on Monday of next week. But Gavin Cagle is a young man for CAK that you mentioned, and he was a great football player and wrestler at CAK, transferred down to Chattanooga. He announced yesterday that he's going to Virginia. We also saw the announcement of Danae Fritt, a standout basketball player for Maryville High School, committed last night to Iowa State. So we have a story up on the site about that. So it's been a busy week, John.
Wow, and it's only going to get busier. Good luck with everything. Absolutely. And covering all that there is to cover with so many incredible storylines. Good luck with Five Star Preps Live, and we look forward to getting ready for the playoffs next Friday.
All right, thanks, John. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jesse Smith, the Five Star Preps, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll be back with a final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
This ain't your mama's radio station. Unless you've got a really cool mama. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
We come back to close out this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. on this day before Halloween, and we are here at Oak Ridge Nissan, where it is the startling conclusion. There will be no cliffhanger for what is Rocktoberfest. And we are pleased to be joined by the man himself. The sideburns starting to come back. That's why you don't mix chemicals at home, right?
I'm telling you what. Poo-poo happens. I'll tell you what, folks. Yes, it's a Rocktoberfest, a final weekend, folks. And I'll tell you what, it's been absolute pandemonium going on around here. What a Mondo month. And, of course, you know, it's our win-win program. You win when you get your new Nissan, and then you win because $50 for every vehicle sold goes towards the cure for breast cancer. We're sitting well over 200 cars already, John. So we're going to have a great contribution for the great cause. So it's a win-win.
Well, you do that so often throughout the year, not just this month, which is outstanding how much you have done over the years to help in the fight against breast cancer, but you do it to help out veterans. You do that to help out first responders. You do it in just a way to lend a helping hand all throughout the community that is East Tennessee.
Well, you know, in East Tennessee, you folks are the ones that make it happen. Yeah, we love our wounded warriors and, like you say, our veterans, of course. I mean, so it's just a privilege to be a part of that. And I'll tell you, and it comes, it's like a win-win for us too, because we love to sell cars and make dreams come true and you know, get them the best deal on a new Nissan. So it's a multiple W's.
That's right. And the great thing is, no matter where you are, if you're trying to make your way past the nightmare that is Elm Street, or if you're trying to get here from Sleepy Hollow, how long does it take?
It's just a mere 10-minute drive to save thousands of dollars. And I'll tell you, that nightmare could even be on the Clingston Pike or the Alcoa Highway or the Bill Clinton. Who? Often imitated, never duplicated. There's only one number one, John.
That's right. And it's Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Hour number two of Sports Talk is next. It's the Pick Segment with Bobby Scott on 99.1 The Sports Animal.